Welcome to the Canicut Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
Welcome again to the Canicut Podcast. I'm so thankful to get to be with you today on this beautiful day in the Ozarks. I look outside the window and it's raining everywhere. But in the Ozarks, we always call it a beautiful day, no matter what, with the mountains and the lakes and the rivers. This part of America is just so charming. But in this beautiful day in the Ozarks, glad to have you join us. My co-host, Beth Ann, is away with the Kennecuck Institute traveling. But I'm here again with my oldest daughter, Jamie Jo. I call her Peanut. She's, like her mother, a vastly marvelous human being. I love her. I like her, but I really admire her. She's gutsy. She's brave. She's bold. She does not mind stepping out on a limb in faith. And today, her greatest faith journey that I know a lot of parents who are listening have taken, and a lot of parents who are listening have thought about taking, but her greatest faith journey was to Africa when God put it on her heart to adopt children from a beautiful country called Rwanda. And whether you're a parent or not, and you want to know more about the heart of adoption and what it takes to help someone else adopt, or perhaps be a part of an adoption process by helping raise money for adoption, or any way you want to participate in the whole adoption adventure, Jamie, who actually has her master's degree in international leadership from Rwanda, has a lot to say because she's learned from the highs and the lows of the beauty of adopting children. Jamie, welcome to the Kennecuck Podcast.
Thanks. I'm so excited to get to talk with you about this.
And so, Jay, I know that when you were growing up in our home, we never really talked a lot about adoption as a family. And so what in the world led you to adopt, and what was that process like for you?
Yeah, I think what led me to adopt was you had a picture on my nightstand. I don't even know how it got there originally, but of a little Cambodian child in a hospital. And it was just there, and it was never really even talked about. It just sat there, and I knew that I wanted to adopt children. It was just part of my plan A, and it wasn't something that I talked about with anybody. I just knew at some point I would be an adoptive parent. And so when the time came in my life, I had a lot of good friends who had paved the way in China for adoption. So we started down that path. And as Chinese adoptions kind of slowed and things got hard, God opened the door to Rwanda. And it was interesting that in the introduction, you called me brave, because I think the bravest thing I have ever done in my life was to get on that airplane and go to Rwanda. I've gotten to travel a lot, but I had never been to Africa. I had three biological kids at home, and my youngest Dax took me to the airport, and he was dressed like Jack Sparrow, and he just has these dimples and sucking his thumb. And I left him behind heading to Rwanda going, what am I doing? And I was sobbing. I was crying so hard the TSA agent gave me Kleenex, because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm terrified. So yeah, that was the beginning of my process, and the adoption process never ends. The thing that surprises me the most about adoption, there's, you know, a couple things. One is I love them the same as I do my biological children. I kind of thought that I wouldn't. I don't know why, but I do. One time I even was talking to Gabby, who I adopted, and I said, well, when I was pregnant with you, and I kind of went on, and she goes, Mom, I'm adopted. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you are. Because I see them the same, and I'll get into that more in just a second. The other great thing is how much they opened our family's eyes to different things. You know, we're a multiracial family now, and we get to experience things that I wouldn't have gotten to experience before. also just how their trauma of abandonment, you know, would leave a hole bigger than my love can maybe fill, and not being able to fix that, but to love them through it. Another thing that surprised me, and I want to say this, just encourage people, you know, through the foster system and stuff. I did not go that route because I was so terrified of the birth mom. But now having kids who we don't know the birth mom and don't know their stories, I wish I did. I wish I could tell their moms how great they are. And I want to brag on them all the time to their birth mom. And so, you know, just as encouragement, like, that was really fun for me. But I think my biggest surprise was how adoption changed my view of God's love for me. That has revolutionized my faith journey.
Jamie, go back for us, if you will, and talk a little bit about the emotional journey. You went to Rwanda, and as I recall you telling the story, the minister of adoption was not in favor of you adopting. What all did you have to go through to bring that little baby girl back to America?
Yeah, it was interesting. Rwanda didn't have a great program set up yet. And there was a day in October, I did not have approval. I had nothing. And God said, get on that airplane. And I did. I just got on the airplane and I had no approval. I didn't know if I was going to get that child. And I got to the airport. They handed me Gabby. And about a week later, the process, I had to be there a month. We went into the Ministry of Family and she said, we were not going to approve your adoption, but I heard you were on the airplane to come get your child. And something in my heart told me that I needed to let this adoption go through, which was so neat just to, you know, feel God doing that. And it's interesting because, you know, John 14:18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And that was kind of what I felt, you know, like Gabby drawing me to her. Like I was not going to leave her as an orphan. If I had to go, you know, fight dragons, I would.
And then you went back to Africa to adopt Tiki. What got into your heart about adopting a second child?
Yeah. Well, ironically, I had met a child in Rwanda when I went to adopt Gabby and fell in love with him. And I went back to try and bring him home. And, God had different plans for me and gave me a different child, but just knew that my quiver wasn't full and so thankful that God gave me Tiki, even though that wasn't the direction that I was necessarily heading.
And what were some of the challenges about bringing him back home from Rwanda?
Nothing really in terms of logistics, but he was six when I brought him home. And so, you know, he had a lot more baggage and he didn't speak English and all these things. That was the most challenging thing with bringing Tiki home. But like I was saying before, what God has taught me through all this is, you know, in Romans 8, 16 through 17, it says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are his children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And when I used to read that, I kind of didn't believe it because I didn't believe that I was equal heir with Christ. It doesn't make sense to me. I grew up, you know, needing to be everyone's favorite. That's kind of my thing. I need to be my parents' favorite. I need to be my grandparents' favorite. I need to be my teacher's favorite. And so I had this big favorite thing in my head. So how can you be equal heirs if there's a favorite? And how can I be equal because I'm adopted and Jesus is God's son? But having these adopted children, I am equal heirs with Christ. And it's so humbling to know how much I love all of my kids equally and that God actually loves me equally with Christ. And it was immediate. Like they put Gabby in my arms and I didn't have to like grow to love her. Like I immediately loved her. They put Tiki in my arms and I immediately loved him. Romans 8:5-8 says, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And, you know, I was given these two children with baggage. You know, they had abandonment baggage and Tiki had even more baggage as a six-year-old, but it didn't matter. And it doesn't matter the baggage that we come to Christ with because he still loves us. We all come to God with baggage, whether it's from other relationships or whatever it is. And he loves us.
Oh, Jamie, if everyone knew how fabulous these two kids are, Oh, there's just the joy of being their grandfather and just watching how marvelous they have turned out to be, each of them in their own way. Everyone, if you knew Gabby and Tiki, would want to adopt. I know there's been bumps along the way, and I know it's been challenging, just like raising any child has plenty of challenges, but the glory and the fulfillment and the beauty. We've been watching Gabby dance all weekend. She is an avid dancer. She's like 5'7" or so, and she's built like a dancer. She got these gorgeous dark black eyes, and man, when they look at you, it's like the whole room lights up, and she's got a smile that would melt the ice cap in Antarctica. It's just this great smile, and she dances like a professional. I'm just always so proud of her, and I'm always so proud of you for going through all the adoption ups and downs. But Peanut, there were so many tender times along the way. There's so many wonderful, tender moments, like discovering that how deliberately Gabby ate food early on, because food was so precious to her, how slowly she would eat. And sometimes she would even keep food in the side of her mouth just to make sure there was enough for the next bite. I mean, it would put you in tears just watching how precious the mental side they were going through to adapt to being adopted. Can you tell us some of the tenderness of being the mother of these two darling adopted children?
Yeah, I can try. You know, bringing kid number 4 and 5 into a big family, I laugh because Gabby's ratio got worse when she came into our family, because she came from a really great orphanage and she had her caregiver ratio was much better before she came to me. So in the chaos, it was hard to see the tenderness. Yeah, I think that I had to learn to advocate for all my kids. I'm a people pleaser. And so advocating for my kids felt like not people pleasing. And with Tiki, I really had to advocate with him. He had learning disabilities, and he came into school as a 6-year-old who didn't speak English and didn't know the girls' bathroom from the boys' bathroom. And they wanted to move him down 2 grades and all of these things. And I really, this mama bear inside of me just welled up, and I fought for my boy, and I fought for his, you know, learning plan, and I fought for equal, you know, him being treated equal, even though he didn't speak English. And then fast forward to high school when he was being treated very unfairly. And it ended up kind of being based on his learning difficulties and his skin color both. And I just got to jump in as a mom and sit in front of the school board and talk to him about what a great kid he is, about how they were taking things out of context, not considering his learning difficulties, and just really fight for my son. And he and I walked out of that building because he was sitting there and he said, "Mom, thanks for fighting for me," you know, and that was just really special that, you know, he saw that I will mama bear for him, just like I'll mama bear for everybody.
This summer at camp, there's been so many fantastic, glorious moments with your two kids, Jay. There have been so many glorious moments with your two adopted kids. But this summer, Diane had counted all the votes for who was going to be the princess of the tribe. And I'll be, the kids had voted for Gabby. And so I was up there announcing the chiefs and princesses, and I had no idea who was going to win. But when I announced her name, and the kids just started cheering like I've never heard them cheer before. Both tribes, the Kickapoos and the Kiowas, cheering for Gabby after her journey from Rwanda to America, growing up in a predominantly all-white town and just becoming one of the most well-liked, well-loved, well-respected people in her community. Watch the kids cheer for her, Jamie. It was just a signature standing ovation for the guts of a mom the courage you had to, through thick and thin, to love and love and love and love and love. And as you say, become an advocate for your children and to see the results of the difficulty of your journey. So parents, we didn't adopt, but watching Jamie adopt has made me the biggest fan of this gift God gives for us to either adopt or to help adopt or help facilitate someone else's adoption. If you haven't tried it, prayed about it, or thought about it, we highly recommend you become a part of the process. Jamie, would you say anything closing to any parent out there who in their heart has considered the joy of adoption?
I'd say do it. And say, don't be afraid of the scary things, because scary things come no matter how you bring children into your home. But adopting, if for no other reason than to know how loved you are by Christ, because that's been the biggest takeaway for me. But then to just help a child, you know, I'm like, maybe I'm not the best parent. Well, I'm better than no parent. So is it scary? Yes. Is it hard? Yes. Is it wonderful? Yes. Will it change your family forever? Yes. And mostly for the better. You know, it's the pros outweigh the cons. God calls us to help the orphans for a reason. And I don't think it's just for the orphans.
Well, Jay, would you pray for mommies and daddies out there, please? We close today.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. And thank you for adopting us. Thank you that we are equal heirs with Christ. I can't even. That is so humbling to me. All he did for us on the cross, and I've done nothing, and I am his equal heir. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving me that much. Thank you for adoption. Thank you for calling us to adopt. Thank you for the children that you gave me through adoption. And I just pray for the families out there who are adopting, and it's hard, and they cry on their bathroom floor. Help them know that they're not alone. I pray for the ones who it's great and so thankful that they get to experience just the fun of adding to your family in different ways. I just pray that for the kids who have questions about their beginnings and who maybe wonder about their belonging and wonder about their identity, I just pray that they will find their identity and their belonging in you, and that we all will ultimately. Thanks for loving us, and just pray for all those families out there. You're not alone. Help them feel that. Amen.
Amen.
Please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit KanakukPodcast.com. And for more information about Kanakuk, you can visit Kanakuk.com.